This is session number 4 of the Gospel According to John series. Last time we looked at the Word in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And we concluded by seeing that in the Word is life. And that life that's in the Word, if you could see inside the Word, and you could see that life, that life is the light of men. And seeing that the primary source of the gospel light is the life of Jesus Christ himself. He is, and his life is, the heart of the gospel that shines unto men. And now today we're going to look at the light, and we'll look at, Lord willing, John the Baptist's witness of the light. But first, we're going to start with the light. We're just going to read verses 4 and 5, and then consider some of the things there. John chapter 1, verse 4, in him, that's the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So again, the life of the Word is the light of men. The life of the Word, now the Word's going to be made flesh, we'll see. The life of the Word is the light of men. It's the light of men. It's the only hope for mankind. And this light that is the only hope for mankind, verse 5, shines in darkness. It shines in darkness. Amen. Couple things we can realize about that is just the blessing to know that the light shines in darkness. It's encouraging to remember that when light comes into contact with darkness, the light shines. It doesn't say the light tried to shine in darkness, but the darkness put it out because the darkness was too powerful. No, the light shineth in darkness. Continual, ongoing shining. And the blessing is that, as we'll see later, when we receive the light and the light enters us, we too can shine in darkness. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, and Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, how we can shine in darkness and others can see our lights shining. But let us remember first and foremost that the light is referring to the life of the Word. And he is the source of the light, and he shines in darkness. Amen. Another thing that we see is the light shineth in darkness. The light maintains its identity in the darkness. The light maintains its identity. The light shineth in darkness. And the darkness loses territory. See, when light comes into contact with darkness, the light shines. And darkness has to recede a little bit. Darkness doesn't put out the light. The light shineth in darkness. We have to remember this. We have to lay hold on this hope. People despair in this world as they say it's getting darker and darker. Yes. But the scripture says in the book of Proverbs that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. As the world gets darker, the light should be shining more and more under that perfect day when Jesus Christ appears. The light shineth in darkness. The light maintains its identity, and darkness loses territory. And that goes along right with Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, where Jesus Christ said that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. We are supposed to be invading the territory of darkness, breaking down the gates of hell, storming the gates of hell. Hell should not be putting us out, but we should be putting hell out and pulling people out of the fire. The light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. This is just a reality. It's impossible for darkness to understand light. So just a spiritual truth we have to get. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Here's what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 13 to 15. He said, "Therefore speak I to them in parables." He's talking about the ones who are outside. They're not his disciples. They're not in the light. They're the ones in the darkness. He says, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." So what Jesus says is they can't see, they can't hear, they can't understand, so they can't be converted, and they won't be healed. The darkness comprehended it not. Later in the Gospel according to John, chapter number 8, Jesus Christ is dealing with people who are religious leaders, but they're in darkness. And they're actually the children of the devil. And here's what he says to them in verse 42 and 43. He says, "If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." And then he said, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." He said, "Why do you not understand my speech?" Remember, the ultimate source of light is God himself. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5 says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And Jesus, who is the Word, who was with God, who was God, who issued forth of God, the Word is also the light. Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world." And then those who are his children become children of light. We become light. His word is light. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119, verse 105. So whenever the light shines in darkness, the reality we have to come to grips with is that the darkness comprehended it not. Because if the darkness could comprehend the light. Comprehend means to take it in and to for it to become part of it. If that were to happen, then that means darkness and light would join together. But the reality is darkness and light cannot join together. They have no common union. Back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Something we have to understand is that when God divides something, man, Satan, angels, anybody else cannot join them together. It's impossible. So God divided light from darkness. So unless God changed it and made it so that light could join to darkness, it's impossible to unite what God has divided. And on the contrary, what God unites, it is impossible for man, Satan, angels, whomever else, to divide. That's why Jesus said about male and female, he said, "What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Because man can think they're putting asunder what God joined together, but they're not really, because all that matters is what God sees. God divided the light from the darkness. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Don't be joined with unbelievers, is what he's saying. Why? "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" There is no fellowship. We can't be fellows on the same ship. And what communion hath light with darkness? What common union does light have with darkness? It has no common union. When light and darkness come into the same sphere, the light shines in the darkness. It pushes darkness back, but they are not joined together. The darkness comprehends it not. That's just a reality that we have to understand. This theme of light and darkness is very important, by the way, and it's something that should be understood. It's one of the first things that God revealed and decreed, and those things that he divided. And you see these themes throughout the scriptures, and it's not just the scriptures, although the scriptures are helping us, but it's throughout God's universe, light and darkness. Now, let's look at John's witness in verses number 6 to 8, back in John chapter 1. Verse 6 to 8 says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." So, John the Baptist. This is not the Apostle John who wrote the book. This is John the Baptist. And we'll see that as we continue through the rest of this chapter. First thing we see about John the Baptist is he was a man sent from God. Amen. Later in chapter 3, verse 27, John the Baptist will say this, and these are some words of wisdom. He said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." John the Baptist is going to have a powerful ministry. He's going to have a purpose. He's going to have a function of what he's doing, and people are going to come and question him. Who are you? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And the first thing that John the Apostle wants people to understand is that this man was sent from God. He didn't just do it of himself. This was something that God did. Let me tell you something. When God chooses a man and God sends a man, it will be evident. Not everybody will agree with it. Not everybody will receive it. Remember, the darkness won't comprehend it. There'll be many who don't understand it. But it will be evident that it's a work of God to the people of God. This man was sent from God. And again, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's significant. His name is John. Name has to do with identity. All the way back in the beginning, in Genesis, you see God either revealing things, making things, creating things, and then he gives them names. He calls them by names. It's important. What you are named, what you are called, is part of the identity of who you are and the function that you have to fulfill. And so his name is John. The name John literally means the grace of Jehovah. So John the Baptist is sent from God, and his name means the grace of Jehovah. John the Baptist is going to be part of God's grace to the nation of Israel, as we will see, to call them out of the darkness and into the light. He's going to be used to turn them back to the light from the darkness, and he's going to be used to prepare the way for the true light. As we see in verse 7, the same, this is John, his name means the grace of Jehovah, the same John came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Amen? So we see this man sent from God, and he's sent as a witness. Now, it's very interesting. He comes for a witness to bear witness of the light. He's a witness that's pointing to the witness. Jesus Christ is called the faithful and true witness. A witness is someone who tells what he's seen. He tells what he's heard. It's also someone who is pointing to somebody greater. See, there were things that were given in the Old Testament that were witnesses of what was to come. They were not the substance of what was to come, but they were witnesses of what was to come. And this man, John, comes for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Why? That all men, through him, might believe. We're going to just see, it's kind of neat. John is called the voice, and the voice will be pointing people to the word. John is called a burning and shining light. Jesus calls him that in John chapter 5, verse 38. John is a light, and he's pointing people to the light. John is a witness, and he's pointing people to the witness, the faithful and true witness, Revelation 3, verse 14. And ultimately, his whole ministry is so that all men through him might believe. And of course, the real faith has to come through Jesus Christ. John chapter 17 and verse number 8 says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." See, through Christ and through his words, the disciples came to believe in the Father. But also, Israel had to go through John to get to Jesus Christ. Through John, men came to believe in the true light, Jesus Christ. There were Pharisees and scribes and people who had rejected John and rejected his ministry. And then Christ came along, and they liked to debate with Christ and decide whether they wanted to believe in Christ. And there came a day when they came to Jesus and they said, and you can read this in Luke chapter 20, verses 1 to 8. I'm going to just kind of summarize. They said, "Tell us by what authority you do these things. Who gave you this authority?" And what Jesus does is, rather than answer their question, he brings them back. He says, "I'll ask you one thing and answer me." He says, "You know, I'll answer you if you answer me." And he brings them back to John. And he says, "The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men?" And they went back and forth, and they said, "Well, we can't really tell, because if we say no, well, the people will stone us. If we say yes, well, then they'll say, why didn't you believe?" So they say, "Yeah, we can't tell." So then Jesus says, "Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things." You see, Israel could not come to believe in Christ unless they went through the witness, John. They had to go through the witness. And anybody who wanted Christ, they wanted Christ's authority, they wanted to know who Christ was, he brought them back to John. He says, "If you can't determine what was going on with John, then I'm not going to tell you anything about me. Because through him might believe." In verse 8, he was not that light. That's John. He wasn't that light. He was a light, but he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John had a great ministry and had a great purpose. And I love what John says in chapter 3. We'll get there later. But in chapter 3, John the Baptist says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And John realized his whole point was to point people to Jesus Christ. And we get to be lights in this world too. But let us remember that as John, whose name means the grace of Jehovah, that we can be as John and hopefully be ministers of his grace. But let us remember that we get to bear witness of the light. And next time we'll look at this true light and its entrance into the world and the responses that come from it. Amen.